and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Baby, it is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. Oh, I'm in that really attractive end phase of being sick. Extra phlegmy.
Neato.
Yes. 1-800-STEPH-1-2, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. And I promise the most obnoxious name-dropping show ever. I gotta go back to being an elderly shut-in. I don't know what's... You know, no one cared about me when I was straight. I don't know what the deal is. Something about... I don't know if it's to do with being a flag-waving mo.
Homo?
Yeah, I don't... Whatever.
Mm-hmm. Lesbo.
Thanks. Yep. StephanieMiller.com, the website. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris LaVoie, voice deity Jim Warder, me, Stephanie Miller. I was at a party at Larry King's last night. Just saying.
Okay, so let me get this straight.
There's a hilarious part of this story, is I have to say. Wendy Walker is coming on with us mm-hmm. with her new book. She's Larry King's executive producer, 16 years. Right. Has a great new book out, producer. She's coming on with us later today. So it's a party for her.
That's right.
Hanging out with Bill Maher, Kathy Griffin. I'll tell the whole story. There you go.
So let me get this straight.
Oh, and Suzanne Summers was pestering me endlessly about which kind of hormones I should be taking for my change. All right.
So you had dinner with a celebrity chef on Sunday.
Yes, who we're having on tomorrow.
You went to a party last night. What happened yesterday morning?
It was not to do with that. I was sick on Friday. You know that.
I know.
I was taking antibiotics. It wasn't to do with that.
Okay. Everybody was wondering if you had a little too much box
wine. I'm not used to having a social life and a job. That's
okay.
It. Yeah.
Okay.
No, I'm still sick, and my voice was nearly gone yesterday. It's nearly gone now.
Yeah.
All right, we have another big show. Because you know what we did? Now we mashed Mondays and Tuesday shows together.
We have.
Like entirely too many Thanksgiving dishes all mashed in together.
Mm-hmm.
Eric Bollert from Media Matters.
Our peas are touching our potatoes.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
He will be co-hosting Right Wing World next hour. See, this isn't even a fake calling in sick call. My voice is still shot. All right, anyway, I'll have to tell you the hilarious Larry King cocktail party story because it's fairly hilarious, and it'll make us normal people feel better. All right, and Fred Schneider of the B-52s also on the big show today.
Yeah.
And it's Tuesday, which means what? Can we be rude?
Probably rude pundit. Pundit.
Good morning, Papa.
Good morning. I've been on hold for nearly 24 hours.
I like that sort of loyalty and commitment and patheticness. I like that in a person.
And cattywampusness.
Only for you.
I have to tell you, I love your stuff on the... Because everybody, we're getting ready to travel for Thanksgiving. And it's all the talk, the junk grabbing and the machines. And your post is a junk grab too far. Welcome to the privacy party, mother... Come into the constitutional protections rave. What took you so long to get here? Oh, yeah, holding people indefinitely without charges? Who the... cares? Wiretapping Americans without a warrant? Oh, us. Torturing confessions out of innocent people? Sometimes you gotta spill a little blood to make a security stew. Strangers looking at your little for no reason other than you bought a plane ticket? Oh, that's an outrage akin to Mother Teresa's corpse with her own... All right.
Oh, dear.
Now, listen,
some of those were, like, legitimate words.
I know.
It just made it sound worse than...
Oh, I'm sorry. I bleeped femur with her own femur.
Oh.
Well, no, actually, that is probably better bleeped anyway.
Yeah.
You.
See? So, yeah, I mean, it is kind of amazing, right? Like, that's what I thought. I went, okay, wait a minute. How come George Bush is the one, as you pointed out, that started all this? How come now that... And it's because there's a black guy in the White House again, right?
Oh, yeah, because there's a black guy in the White House, and all of a sudden there's these new super-secret groping procedures. It's sort of like, you know, they're now training them to be ninja fondlers. Did you see that they interviewed the TSA head? What is it? Pistole?
Pistole, yeah.
Pistole,
whatever.
That's great. I'm glad he has a mobster-sounding name. Hey, yeah. Pistole wants to fondle your junk. So there was...
I get your pat down ready.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he's not even. They won't even tell you until it actually happens to you exactly how they're going to stick their hand under one scrotum. Or
yeah, I'm hoping it's not quite as graphic as you've described in your post this week. But you're right. Yep, it took for some of the citizens of this country to actually make a stink out of civil rights. All it took was a black president, a Democratic-controlled Department of Homeland Security, and the fear that a barely trained, underpaid airport security people will see what your mama's don't look like in a government-ordered X-ray body scan. I mean, that is, it is amazing. We're, you know, during the Bush administration, it was all about security. And, oh, the president's keeping us safer, and now it's like, what the hell?
Yeah. Well, because, again, and Republicans know how to play this stuff. Republicans are now using this to say, you know what, we should actually be profiling more. That's what we should, that's what will keep us safer, not these other security techniques. So
right.
They're actually keying into very, very real fears that people are having. And, you know, you could say that, just don't fly. You could say, you know, you can take the train or something like that. But you want to say
right.
Also, no, that's really not an option. This is not the nation we have. The nation we have is you fly.
Well, you know, and Rude, you point out, though, I mean, it is hilarious that obviously the testing of these body scanners it began during the Bush administration. You point out, in fact, discussions of the use of body scanners at airports went back to October 2001. According to the Washington Post, it was Bush who wanted to see some, you know, same word.
Yes. His name thing.
Yeah. The enhanced pat-down is a new procedure, but you can bet the study on how to do it began before Janet Napolitano got there. I mean, that... Go ahead. Sorry.
Right. It's just easy to attack Obama on this, as on everything else, because he essentially went ahead and implemented things that started under Bush. Although the first testing of these body scanners, the really awfully named backscatters, which I think you can get at certain dominatrix clubs up here, that this started under Bush and now Obama's getting the blame, and the testing began under Bush, and in fact they were thinking of using these almost immediately after 9/11. And so now all of a sudden, of course, this becomes just another way to attack the Obama administration.
Well, and plus, I don't know what this means. So, Pistole, guy, so he, let's see, he said it will be adapted now. He said the screening procedures will be adapted in an effort to make them as minimally invasive as possible. I don't know if that means just second base, I'm not sure, third base, while still providing the security the American people want and deserve. So, it is a tough, I have to tell you, I remember when I had a broken leg, I traveled, and I got the pat down.
Oh,
and
yeah?
Maybe it's me and just I'm starved for human affection. I was fine with it. But I thought, you know, the other thing, I do feel bad for these TSA people because they are just doing their job. And when I went through it, they were very professional. And, you know.
You got to imagine there's a certain point where it's just like, oh, God, do I really have to touch this guy's.
Again.
And, you know, oh, God, look at this woman. Oh, no. No wonder she's wearing running pants. She needs that elastic waistband. I got to stick my hand in there. I'm going to find yesterday's cornflakes. Oh, God.
Oh, and sometimes you have the people wearing nothing but spandex and an oversized shirt.
Ugh. Right.
And then
right.
there's, did you hear this story? There's a guy that stripped to his underwear in order, which is very clever.
Yeah.
That was an effort to avoid either.
The spandex is a great idea because that way it just takes in all the contours and cracks. And
oh, I think it highlights all the contours and cracks.
Exactly. Really, do you think I have anything to hide here?
But you know the problem? I mean, it's just, you know, like this opt-out day. Janet Napolitano criticized an effort to opt out of pat-downs and body scanners on November 24th, calling it counterproductive, which, and it's true, it is so crowded at Thanksgiving. I mean, that's what we need is for it to take longer to get through the friggin', you know.
Yeah, but I admire anybody who wants to do some civil disobedience that actually is about enhancing our rights. And so I say go for it. I say irresponsibly, and I'm not going to be at the airport, so now when I'm flying, don't do it.
That's exactly. That's true. I'm not going anywhere. So go ahead. Civil disobedience. Attica.
But the thing that it's going to do is that it's actually going to, if this works and if enough people do it, it will actually affect the bottom line for a lot of the airlines because it will delay flights, it'll mess up their schedules, and that's the kind of pressure that's actually a great manipulation of the corporate pressure and lobbying that is used often against the general population. So why not use it in this way?
Yeah. What are you going to do when you do fly? Are you doing the X-ray or the pat down?
I'll do the X-ray, and you know how you put your hands up? I'm just sticking
doing the
my
fingers.
Middle fingers up.
Yeah.
Just giving my middle finger right there.
You know, hey, that's pretty rude, you know.
Yeah, well, you know, I
who could have seen that coming from him?
I have to work with what I got.
Yeah.
It's like when Bill Maher said someone said he was politically incorrect. He's like, yeah, who could have seen that coming?
Yeah.
That was when the name of his show was.
Well, and also, Janet Napolitano said that there are other ways, you know, that people can travel. That people can take the train. Yeah, that's fine if you live in the Northeast. But those of us out here in the West, you know, we can go to San Diego. Yay.
Well, I mean, the other thing for me, because I'm like, you know, I'm a little afraid of, like, I don't really want radiation. But then you're going, if you're in a hurry, you know, that's the other thing. If you're late to the gate, you're going, then I'm, because it takes a lot longer, right?
You're always late to the gate, actually.
Pardon me?
You're always late to the gate.
A pat down always takes longer for a girl, Chris, because you got to tell me I'm pretty first. You have to tease a little bit. You can't just go right to the thing.
You're right. Mm-hmm. There's got to be foreplay.
There's got to be kissing. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I, you know, and if we'd spent some time in maybe actually building a rail system in this country that
exactly
that's good for passengers and not just freight.
Yeah, all the new teabaggers that got elected are proud of it. You know, John Kasich, this train's dead. It's like, okay, great, thanks.
Great.
Thanks.
Thank God our
infrastructure is impeccable as it is.
Well, you know, I think somebody should just start sexual assault airlines. And once somebody starts sexual assault airlines, you kind of know what to expect when you're going to board.
Well, I would like the lights dimmed. I would like some Barry White music, something. Do you know what I'm saying? A little box wine. They can make this a little more enjoyable for all of us.
I want a few slaps in there. To really make it enhance the experience. I also love that it's called an enhanced pat down. Isn't that
great?
Just like an enhanced interrogation.
See, now if they would have a sense of humor about it, you know what it would, okay, this would make it all okay, I think, if it became like Dudley Moore's apartment in, what was that, 10? Like if, you know, something like a bed comes down and like a disco ball drops and lights dim and there's a little music.
I thought that was foul play.
I don't know. It was one of those movies. You know what I'm saying, Rude? If they
right,
could,
no.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, if they can make it better, I think you should get to choose what TSA agent you want, you know.
Maybe they should call them TNA agents now.
There you go. Or,
just
or
ideas.
At least, you know, give me a gay guy. That would be great.
I want a gay to touch me.
I want somebody that understands how to touch another man.
It's going to be a little more gentle.
Yes.
Yeah.
Or rough. Depending on...
Yeah, you want a slap.
A straight guy's like he's kneading dough or something. He's not even into it.
Rude just said he wanted to smack. You know,
sure.
a little slap and tickle.
If I can't do the smacking, I may as well play the bottom.
There you go.
All right, this discussion has gone longer than it should have for really, really inappropriate reasons. All right.
But I think that's where we should go now. We all are right. All now the TSA's bottom.
Okay. Thank you. All right, your rudeness. See you next Monday as usual.
All right.
Happy Thanksgiving.
You too. Bye.
All right, there you go.
Oh, my God.
That became totally inappropriate.
No.
All right, 19 minutes after the hour. See what happens when I get out of the house too much now?
Yes.
Raging slut. 19 minutes after the hour, right back on The Stephanie Miller Show.
It is a happening spot.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 24 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Steve in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show on the TSA screening. Hi, Steve.
Hey, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Hey, you know, if Sarah Palin can get repudiate added to the dictionary, I'm going to try and get gate rape added.
Gate rape. I like it.
I was a victim of gate rape. Oh, you know, yes. Use it in that terminology.
Yes, all right. Thank you, honey. Gate rape. It's the new... It's time for my gate rape.
I like that. We should make it a thing.
Oh, Mike in Chicago, hope you're eating breakfast. That delightful story of the guy's bag that broke.
The urostomy bag?
What's that?
Yeah, what I'm wondering is the older gentleman who had the colostomy bag, when he was patted down and it burst.
Yeah, it was a urostomy bag, actually.
Yes. Yeah, that's...
Does that null and void the 2 ounces of liquid rule by chance?
That's a very good question, actually.
One just wonders. Okay. Do you have to switch to a little tiny 2 ounce colostomy bag when you go through? Like, what? You know what I'm saying? Like, what are the rules? Who knows?
Well, your ostomy bag.
Your ostomy bag
would hold the liquid. The colostomy bag would
That's
hold the
delightful.
Solids.
Who for whoever was behind him, I'm sure.
Mm. And whoever had to clean that up.
Mm-hmm.
Uh huh.
Joe in Spokane, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello.
Good morning, Guy and Gal.
Yes.
You know, this erosion of our civil liberties, it started back under Reagan when you had to have a pre-employment drug test to prove you were innocent. It used to be they had to prove you were guilty. But people kind of went along with that. Oh, yeah, I have nothing to hide. I'll prove I'm innocent. And our society's been going more that direction all the time.
Well, right. I mean, Joe, that's what Rood was pointing out, that you know, boy, during the whole Bush administration, it was kind of like, oh, yeah. Listen, if you're not guilty, you shouldn't have to worry about a warrantless wiretap or blah, blah, blah.
You know, it goes way back to Reagan, started that little insidious beginning of you got to prove you're innocent.
Yep.
Hey, thanks, you guys.
Thank you. I love you, too. I like being touched.
TSA agent, don't touch my junk.
Let's see if my bits and pieces are still working.
Has the government gone too far, become too intrusive at airport security checkpoints?
Come on, now touch me, baby.
If you would provide some Pinot Noir, soft music, and candlelight.
Well, how do you do?
Sweet talk me a little, honey, and then you can grab my junk.
Yeah, baby! Yeah.
We're going to be doing the standard pat down on you today.
Oh.
Also, we're going to be doing a groin shake. That means I'm going to place my hand on your hip, the other hand on your inner thigh, slowly go up and slide down.
Oh.
I'll have what he's having.
Yay, Shano!
That has to do with my weekend, too.
Yeah.
I saw Rob Reiner. That's Rob Reiner's mom, who did the famous line, I'll have what she's having, at the end of the When Harry Met Sally orgasm. All right, so...
Name dropper.
I am the biggest, most obnoxious name dropper now. Oh, anyway, so hilarious. So Wendy Walker is coming on, who has the great new book, Producer, out. She's Larry King's producer, so there was a... our good friend George Slaughter, who created Laugh-In,
right?
Who's a good friend of the Stephanie Miller Show.
Yes.
Thank God he showed up yesterday, because apparently this happens to big, rich and famous people as well. Somebody forgot to order any food or liquor for the party.
And that somebody
and
would
so
be.
And so George Slaughter called a deli and got some liquor and stuff. Delivery. Apparently there was some sort of miscommunication as to who was setting up what.
You'd think Wendy Walker, being a producer, would.
Yeah, she
think
did.
Of
I, it's safe to say
like
she
this.
Did not produce that last
yeah.
night. No, it was for her. She was hilarious. She had the best line when she got up to do her little speech. She said, "Well, first of all, I am stuffed," which was. I think food did arrive eventually, but I go to bed at you know
at stupid o'clock,
so I had to go. But.
Yeah. Yeah.
But anyway,
did he raid his wine cellar at least for some wine for people to drink?
Somehow they got something there, but it was hilarious.
All
it
right.
was, yes. All right. Oh, by the way, and so I ran into Kathy Griffin, who's coming on the show, hopefully, to promote. She's doing Trevor Live,
mm-hmm.
big show here in L.A. Bill Maher says he'll come on if we can stay here till noon to record him. Lots of other fun stuff. We will tell you more.
Stephanie Miller.
This is why I hated my first 2 weeks at the Royal Tampa Academy of Dramatic Tricks. No one knew who was the sluttiest, but I showed them. Oh, I showed them all.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. All right. We talk lots about, obviously, the economy, et cetera, et cetera. One of our good friends is Craig Griffin over at ITM Training, which has been supporting our show since day one. Good morning, Craig.
Hi, Steph. How are you?
I'm good. You know, I wanted to have you on again. We talked last time because, you know, first of all, there's so much, as you know, there's been negative publicity surrounding Glenn Beck and he fear-mongering to sell gold. And I always think it's important to talk about the fact that it just is an important investment as part of your portfolio. Nobody's telling you to take out your life savings and spend it all on gold, correct?
That's right. Gold is a percentage of your portfolio. But, you know, it's like debating sports. We could debate the football game come Sunday and who's going to win and why.
Right.
And on Sunday, however, it's going to show up. We're going to find out on Sunday who won the game. And so, therefore, our debate is going to reveal itself to us on a given date. The difference with the economy and the markets and gold is that we can debate and we can express our opinions based upon what's going on today, but it may not show up on Sunday.
Right.
It may show up 2 years from now, or 10 years from now, or 15 years from now. But the facts are the facts.
Right. Well, I mean, what's your opinion in general on the economic recovery? I mean, obviously, you know, what we hear over and over again, it's not happening fast enough for most Americans. What is your take on it, and what else can we do?
Well, we are in a recovery, and a recovery is simply when the economy is expanding. If it's expanding at 0.001%, it's not in a contraction. We call it a recovery. Employment is always a lagging indicator. So you move into a recovery, and employment will always lag behind that recovery. And the goal in this situation is not to relapse into another recession before the economy gets into a mode that can handle it. And right now, if you were to kick this economy into a recession, believe me, a Great Depression, you know, because we've been in a severe recession, you kick this economy right now over the edge, and something as great as the Great Depression could definitely be in the cards.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what the Fed is fighting today, and that's what the Obama administration is also fighting.
Mm-hmm.
Now, since the last interview, you know, the Fed has introduced quantitative easing again, what they call QE2. And this is simply where the Federal Reserve banks turn around and create money, and they go in the marketplace and they buy the American bonds. Now, they're doing that in order to drive interest rates down and keep it low to stimulate this economy. But there's a consequence to this. And that consequence is that you debase your currency. You devalue your currency over time.
Mm-hmm.
Now, these things haven't occurred over the last couple of years, and this is where the debate about this whole situation maybe gets a little ridiculous, because we look at it as though this is a political argument, and it's not. You know, the problems that we're in haven't been created over the last 2 years. My goodness, you know, we're over $14 trillion in debt today. This has been going on for decades.
Right.
You know, it takes over $1.5 billion just to pay the debt on that, the interest on that debt today.
Right. Well, Craig, why? So let's talk about gold for a minute. Why buy gold now?
Well, you buy gold today because, again, we can debate sports and what's going to show up on Sunday, but we may not get this. You know, this may not show up in full for years to come.
Mm-hmm.
You know, today, I think President Obama is the 15th progressive president.
Right.
You know, we've had 42
presidents. We've survived them before, is what you're saying.
Right. Well, you know, we've had 42 presidents, and 44 if you count those that repeated themselves,
yep,
skipping, you know, terms.
Right.
Out of that, 15 have been Democrats. You know, from a progressive standpoint, if you're not buying gold today because, you know, we have a progressive president, you're missing the boat.
Mm-hmm,
because
mm-hmm.
It may not show up in 2 years or
right.
6 years.
Well, that's what I, you know, that's why, Craig, like I said, we wanted to have you on, because I think that Glenn Beck does this thing about, you know, because apparently Obama and George Soros and God knows who else is on the chalkboard, is part of destroying the country. Like, you have to buy gold if you want to survive. And it's like, I think you guys over at ITM don't believe in that kind of fear mongering to sell a good product that can be part of just a healthy portfolio, right?
Well, you know, I think that we at ITM Trading, and matter of fact, I mean, one of the things that attracted me into what I do is that I love studying the market and the history of the market. And, you know, history has shown us over and over and over again, whether we, you know, no matter what type of government you have, there's never been a currency that's ever stood the test of time.
That's right. Yeah.
So, you know, we believe, you know, the reasons for owning gold are the same. I don't care if, you know, if it's progressive or whether it's conservative, the reasons for owning gold are the same. And for us to get caught up into the fact that it's happening because of the Obama administration, you know, gold went up more during the George Bush administration than it ever went up during the Obama administration. So,
right.
You know, for me, I don't. It's not a political discussion. It is an economic,
yeah,
and a market discussion.
Yeah, that has stood the test of time. And the other thing I have to tell you is our listeners support the advertisers that support us, and I know that you have been supporting our show and Randy Rhodes and a lot of us here in Progressive for a long time, and we thank you for it. And so we just wanted to have you on to, you know, to kind of give your side of things, because, like I say, you don't want to, you know, give a good investment a bad name because of who's maybe promoting it or not.
Well, Jim Rickards, you know, there's an interview on our website with a man named Jim Rickards, and Jim, his credentials are almost like an insider. And he talks about gold going to $7,500 to $9,500 an ounce. And you know, just if we had to back the dollar with gold. And Jim actually, as well as there's others, very smart individuals that believe gold is going to go to those levels. Now, it might be 20 years before we get to those levels. It might be 2. It might be 3. It might be 5. But don't look at it as though this is a slap against the Obama administration. You know, what you're trying to do is protect yourself against years of abuse. I'm talking decades of abuse. $14 trillion in debt. We have a deficit that's almost $2 trillion today. This has been building over time, and we backed ourselves into a corner by the Federal Reserve banks, who are no more federal than Federal Express. You can research that.
Yeah.
You can research that.
Yeah.
And they're printing money at will. When Nixon decoupled the gold from the dollar in 1971, what they allowed the central banks to do was print money at will. And this is what you're protecting yourself against. You're protecting yourself against a banking system that has gone crazy. Now, we talk about this in our newsletter and different things that we sent out. It's not fear mongering. It's called looking at the facts.
Craig, how can we reach you guys? What's the number, website, whatever?
Well, if they call us at 1-888, that's 888-OWN-GOLD, we'll send out free information about owning gold. And on the website at itmtrading.com, that Jim Rickard interview is about 8 to 10 minutes long.
Yep.
And
yep.
It's well worth listening.
Yep. Well, in this economy, you got to arm yourself. Craig, we always appreciate your time and your support of the show. Thank you so much. And talk to you again soon.
Okay. Thanks.
All right. There he goes. Craig Yeffin. ITMtrading.com.
That's right.
Sanchez and Montebello. Hola, ¿qué tal? Adios mío, mi amigo.
Support for the Mamacita y los Mookie mm-hmm. show is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. And by the new Patron Reposado turkey dressing.
Oh, I haven't had that. That's delicious. All right.
Oh, it's mm-hmm. very good. Very mm-hmm. good. Mm-hmm. Hey, Mamacita.
Yes.
I wanted to update something here that Ruud Pundit was talking about. He was mentioning that it was George Bush that was pushing the body scanners. Actually, the one that was more...
Chertoff, right?
Yes, it was
yes.
Michael Chertoff, the one that was really, really pushing it. And if you could trace his activities after leaving his position as Homeland Security Chief, he went on to form the Chertoff Group, which actually represents now Rapiscan, which is the manufacturer of those...
Which sounds like something in Jurassic Park.
That
could eat a velociraptor.
Yes, and then there's something else here that's also very important. I sent you a link right now via email, and I just I should point out to everybody that they should go to YouTube and watch a video. Look up body scanner demonstration. That's body scanner demonstration. A German TV show called Marcus Lanz had a demonstration on their program of these airport scanners, and it should actually be called scammers instead of scanners, because they had a person representing the scanning company that was operating the machine and looking at the screen, and then they had this detective guy run through the machine with a full body scan, and the person operating the machine looked at the visual. You could see plainly on the screen where the only thing that he's really looking at is, you know how when you go on any of these TV shows, I'm sure you remember wearing the little square microphone, the remote. Okay, that's the only thing that he captures on the visual screen. Now afterwards, the guy that goes through the screen pulls out of his mouth a fuse, and out of his coat pocket, he pulls out a little vial of thermite, which is one of the explosives that was used. And then they go outside, and they show you what the thermite does, and it explodes, and it does a real big thing. So those, I swear to God, there's going to be problems with this thing, and Chertoff is already making money up the wazoo because he's getting a little cut every time one of those airport scammers is installed in one of the airports. So that's one point.
Yeah, it is a little bit curious that Skeletor is going to be profiting financially off of it. These are the scanners apparently we must have because... it's like, what was that discussion like? Well, here's what I think we need. Well, you know what, President Bush, I just happen to sell those.
Yes.
What a coincidence.
Yeah, I just happen to have one with me. Let's roll it in, boys.
Well, it's like this, you know, Governor Jan Brewer thing. You know, it's like her involvement in the, you know, the prisons.
The private prisons.
But it is hilarious how it's you know, apparently everybody was all for this in the Bush administration, and now that they're being enacted under Obama, it's like, what? What sort of invasion of privacy is this?
Don't touch my junk.
Yeah.
Speaking of hilarious the stuff here, coincidences, the CEO of the company that owns RapidScan Systems, they're called OSI Systems, and the CEO of that company, his name is, I'm forgetting his name right now. It's Deepak Chopra, not the Deepak Chopra from CNN. He just happens to have the same name. And of all
weird.
And of all things, he accompanied Barack Obama on the flight to India just so they could sell these airport scammers to India. So what a little twisted
did you say scammer? I think you meant scanner.
The airport, well, I'm calling them airport scammers because they're not working.
All right. Thank you, Sanchez. Go. Appreciate it. All right. 46 minutes after the hour, back with more on all this TSA stuff as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Because everything about this is disgusting.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
I get it, because we're having Fred Schneider on.
That's right.
From the B-52s later.
Yeah.
He has a Christmas album.
That's
out,
right.
By the Superians is his group. And I've heard it's hilarious. My favorite, Who Threw That Ham at Me?
Yes.
That is great.
Well, no, that's not on the Christmas album. That's on their previous album.
I don't care. Just the title of it makes me want to have him on.
You know what? I have...
You do?
Yes.
Well, all right.
This is a cut off their album. It's called Santa's Disco.
Okay.
It's kind of loungy, their album.
What's not great about loungy?
Exactly.
That is a Christmas party song if ever I've heard one.
That's right. The Superions. And it's available on iTunes.
All right. So Fred Schneider coming up. Wendy Walker, Larry King's executive producer coming up. That's the I was at Larry. By the way, let me just say, Larry King, nice joint in Beverly Hills. Way to go. I think that kid's going to make it in this business after all.
You think so?
Uh-huh. His wife is gorgeous. And Suzanne Summers, we're going to have her on. You do not... If you want to have a conversation with anyone else, say to Suzanne Summers, help me, I think I'm in perimenopause. Because that is a whole thing that went on. God bless her. She's done a lot of research, bioidentical something. anyway, she's delightful. And I haven't seen her in a while. All right. And so, yes, Kathy Griffin we ran into. I think she's going to come on the show. She has a big show coming up here in L.A. to promote the Trevor Project.
That's right.
Fabulous. Bill Maher did not realize what time we're on.
But he's been on our show before.
Yes, he has. And he said he wants to come on. And he's on You're On When. And so we're trying to figure out when we can. I said, we'll come in later for you. Something.
What time does he get up?
He said noon or so.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if he meant that literally or he was exaggerating.
No, that's what time he gets up. I've heard that about him. That's why we've heard that from his people.
Apparently, we'll be coming in and working later to pre-record an interview.
Well, I'm often here until noon. Okay. You skedaddle right away.
I'll skedaddle. I'll come back.
Okay.
I'll go hit the bars and I'll come back for that.
Okay. Are you okay?
I am very phlegmy. That's what I am.
A Heimlich? You Spittoon?
No, thank you. No, thank you.
Okay.
All right, Bob in San Jose, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Bob.
Yeah.
Hello.
Hi. Yeah, I have a question, which Jim maybe knows. How much do you get in the way of x-rays from these things, instead x-ray machines?
Well, that's what I'm concerned about, Bob, is that you
it's
know...
cumulative.
Well, exactly. I don't think any unnecessary radiation is good, right?
Exactly. I mean, last time I went to the dentist, they had this lead thing they put on me to protect.
Yes, I broke my foot, and I've had to have it re-x-rayed a few times, and you're going, this can't be good when they give me this heavy metal apron.
Yeah, exactly.
But from what I've heard, you have to go through this thing 1,000 times, more than 1,000 times in a year to get the same amount of radiation you get from a dental x-ray.
Very low amount, then.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's what they're telling us.
Bob, and it's going to be probably this question, like I was saying, of hassle. I mean, not only the intrusiveness of the pat down, but that it takes a lot longer. So, you know, that's the problem, is you can say, I'm not going through the scanner, and then you get there and you're like, crap, I'm late in traffic, and now I've got to get to the gate.
That's what I think is going to happen. But say, I'm just curious about the x-rays, because I haven't heard anything about it, other than it is x-ray.
Well, that's what Chris just heard. You'd have to go through 1,000 times to have it be the same amount of radiation as a dental x-ray. But,
that's what they're telling us. You know, the reality could be something different. We don't know.
Yes. Well, see, Bob, it's my thing with the hormones. it can increase your incidence of cancer, is what I'm told.
You don't know until you're there.
Yes.
Exactly.
Am I going to trade my hot flashes and...
Well, and even then, you don't know if that's the cause of your cancer. You could have gotten cancer from something else.
Yes.
You know?
From a Thymaster.
I doubt that.
Just saying.
Yeah, well, I think you also need to take what Suzanne Summers says with a grain of salt, because some doctors don't agree with her.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. And so the scanners...
Check with your physician.
Please. But that's what I'm saying about the scanners is, you know, some people may justifiably look at how many things they come back later and tell you, oh, guess what? That kills you. We forgot to mention that. Oops. Did we say you'd have to go through 1,000 times? Because then there's a lot of people that fly a lot and don't want to be exposed to that. So,
Michael Chertoff wants to kill you.
Exactly.
I think that's the conclusion.
That's why he looks like Skeletor.
We need He-Man.
All right. Tomorrow on the big show, it's the famous chef I had dinner with this weekend. Susan Fenniger is coming on the show.
I don't know why you
had no idea who she was, because you know me. If Keith Olbermann didn't say it, I don't know what it is.
I have been a fan of her since 1996.
She is tremendous. I know people were like, oh, you're going to dinner with her at her restaurant. So she brought out like 75,000 dishes, and they were all like unbelievable. And so it's Thanksgiving. It's food week.
Well, her restaurant.
So she's going to come on and
her restaurant Street celebrates street food from all around
the world.
And so they're smaller plates that you get, but you can share them.
It's like
street food tapas at her restaurant. It's a really cool concept.
Look at this menu I had. Kaya toast with egg and dark soy. Mandu dumplings with shrimp stuffed mushrooms with scallion ginger cream and ponzu.
Oh my God.
I was like, what? Please, sir, can I have some more?
I've been to 2 of her restaurants. I haven't been to that one. I need to go.
Yeah, it's amazing. Well, she was one of the Two Hot Tamales.
Absolutely.
The cooking show, and she's been on Top Chef recently, but anyway.
She was just on the finale of Top Chef Just Desserts.
Yes, and I was being, as you know, as I normally am, a pain in the ass about what time, because I go to bed at...
It's stupid o'clock.
And I get up at...
Insane o'clock.
Yes.
And she doesn't eat dinner at 6.
No. No, her girlfriend said she considers anything before 7:30 breakfast.
Yes.
So, anyway, I was being a pain in the ass as I normally am, and then you were like, you're having dinner with who? At her restaurant? You're being a pain in the ass?
You will go when she tells you to go.
I wore them down, so we did 6 o'clock, and then I suddenly realized who it was, and I was like,
But she's coming on with us tomorrow.
Tomorrow, and because it's food week, for God's sakes.
Yes.
It's Thanksgiving, so,
and then we're
going
to have her in studio sometime before Christmas,
because
she's going to bring breakfast.
Yes. Well, normally, like today, we have to. We're only at the mercy of the right wing host that has the personal chef over there.
Well, the personal chef brought Thanksgiving today, so that's what we're eating.
We usually just bring our cat food, you know,
my God,
our holes and eye sockets cat food, because that's all we can afford in progressive radio.
That's right.
Unless there is the largesse of some rich right wing host next door, or a celebrity chef befriends us. All right, 58 minutes after the hour. Right Wing World is next with Eric Bollard on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's
The Stephanie Miller Show.
Doggy, it is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEPH-1-2, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Wendy Walker, Larry King's executive producer, joins us next hour to talk about her new book, Producer. It's fabulous. Fred Schneider, star-wise, as big as a whale.
That's right.
He does all 16 dancers.
Yes, he does. He's from Planet Claire. He will be calling in next hour.
I know he came from there.
Yeah. Talk about his new Christmas album from the B-52s, founding member of the B-52s.
That's right.
StephanieMiller.com, the website. You can email us all there, executive producer Crystal Boyd, voice deity Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller. Oh, we're going to put Jim on camera in a little bit.
Oh, that's right.
Yes.
Yeah, so tune in via Ustream. And the link is at StephanieMiller.com, and you tweeted it earlier this morning.
Yes, so that I can pick my nose in peace, because I have a cold, and it's a really icky end phase. No. I apologize to those of you in the chat room.
Don't go up to the first knuckle. That's all they're asking.
All right. Apologize. Jim is stuffing Thanksgiving food in his pie hole from the rich right-wing host who has a caterer.
Yes, He deigns to let us have some more.
Please, sir. May we have some more?
Mm-hmm.
Some more? We have to do this real quick. Jack in Miami had Denny Hastert in his TSA line yesterday.
What?
Hi, Jack. Oh, God. That's got to be bad.
Yes, Denny came right up, and I didn't even recognize him when he came up, and he just put his boarding pass in my face and he said, J. Dennis Hastert. And I looked up and I said, it doesn't look like you.
He's lost a lot of weight.
It was just too funny because the man has lost about 100 pounds.
He really has.
He's going to have to modify the routine.
Really? Could you see his sausage on the scanner machine? Or?
I couldn't see the sausage at all. But
in his pockets, because he probably travels with sausage snacks.
The thing was that I went up to him and I kind of whispered in his ear, I got to ask you, do you really listen to the Stephanie Miller Show? And he kind of smiled and he said, yeah.
Did he really? No way.
No.
He really did.
He
listened to the show. I didn't ask him if he liked the mimic or not. But
the mimic. All right, thank you.
We encouraged his weight loss. I think we.
Oh, God, it's exactly because you're talking about him.
It's done. No more Riemann Schneider's House of Meat. I got to get away from there. And
apparently, his parody on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Cut out carbs would be better than cutting out the meat.
Now he goes to the salad bar.
He was on the original Atkins thing. Okay, you know what? Our friend Eric Bollard has been on hold for 24
Eric
hours.
From Media Matters for America, doing the Lord's work as usual.
Eric Bollard.
Come on, baby.
Eric Bollard.
Let's dive into the right-wing world.
I don't know what that means.
Eric Bollard from Media Matters, whom we love.
Bollard.
Eric, I apologize for leaving you on hold for an entire day. I appreciate your patience.
Yeah, thank you for holding.
Yes, Mama was sick yesterday.
I was wondering what was going on, but very loyal.
You're almost ready to hang up. You have your dignity, after all. Now, you know, you wrote a piece about, I'm thinking, am I the only one that's noticing this? Is this the only one, am I the only one that's making it, I'm getting sick watching these George W. Bush softball interviews on Fox News? But you wrote a whole piece about it. You call them pillow soft interviews.
Well, yeah, it was amazing. To me, I mean, obviously, you know, everyone knew what the Fox News interview with George Bush was going to be. But to me, it was just sort of the sheer repetition. I mean, it was basically every host on Fox News had at least an hour with Bush. You know, Hannity had a couple hours. And it was just, it was very interesting in terms of the rehabilitation and just sort of the sheer repetition of the same handful of anecdotes they had Bush repeat again and again and again. You know, he was in office for 8 years, and every host wanted him to tell like the same three stories. And
yeah,
I think what's
and you well, you do yeah, point out that Sean Hannity asked the toughest question. He said, "You become a little bit like a rock star," which Sean tends to do those kind of just declarative statements that aren't really even questions.
And what was interesting is that, you know, obviously they, you know, Fox News has so much vested in the Bush presidency. I mean, they supported him for 8 years. But really what I think now is important is they need to prop up Bush as a success. And that was really the underlining theme, that Bush was a hugely successful president.
Yes.
And they need to prop him up to show him to be sort of the anti-Obama. Because if you watch Fox News, Obama is just a complete and total disaster. He's ruining America. And so the opposite of that is George Bush, who was a runaway success and took America to new heights. And
yes, as we all recall.
That's right. So it's definitely that echo chamber.
Yes.
Where they create their own facts. But the Bush book release was really the first time, you know, Fox News was able to very aggressively try to rewrite history in terms of Bush. It was kind of fascinating to watch. Boring as hell.
Yeah, exactly. All right, let's dive into a new right-wing world, shall we, and see what's doing. Dave Briggs, Fox and Friends Weekend?
Yeah.
I can't even imagine the talent level that's required to play on the Fox and Friends Weekend edition.
Okay. The president in the past 2 years has been accused at times of being a bit aloof, of not necessarily connecting with people. Well, here's how Joe Biden explained that aloofness, if you will. I think what it is he's so brilliant. He's an intellectual. Mm. The interesting part about this brilliant comment is then, if we're not understanding the president because he's brilliant, is that to say that most of the American public is just stupid and just doesn't get it?
I don't think that's what he said by saying the president is smart. I don't think that the implication is everyone else is stupid. It's just that the president is smart, as normally you have to be.
Mr. Smarty Pants, why don't you do my homework then?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's the sort of classic anti-intellectualism that runs through Fox News anytime that word is even mentioned.
Right.
It's not a compliment. It's a put down to everybody else. It's very sort of a junior high.
Exactly. And it sounds like they're coming to the conclusion that they want you to come to. So they're, you know, suggesting it to
but
you.
But it sounds exactly like junior high school. Oh, it's your brain, huh?
Well, I mean, but Eric, you know. more broadly, though, isn't that what the scary thing about the rise or whatever you want to call it of Sarah Palin? I mean, Frank Rich wrote a piece on this. It's now it's not just the snooty liberal intellectuals. It's the, you know, snooty Republican establishment
right.
intellectuals that, you know, it's almost like she's running on dumb, you know?
Yeah, I mean, and what's really interesting, you know, Barbara Bush took a swipe at Sarah Palin over the weekend.
Yep.
A Republican columnist, Mona Charon, wrote a rather blistering column. Matt Labash, at Weekly Standard, wrote a column which suggested Palin is something of a national joke. So she's got to completely change her sights. It's not just the Frank Riches of the world. It's, you know, it's Republican conservatives and conservative pundits who are coming to that realization. So
did you hear soon
the enemies list is going to be longer than both of her arms.
Yeah. Did you hear, Eric, the greatest audio we played lately? Chris, I don't know if we can still find that, but hilarious. The Fox host caught off camera talking about Sarah Palin.
Yeah.
And they sound like the snootiest, you know, establishment liberals you could find. I mean, it's hilarious. It's, you know, but that's the whole thing that you guys always point out, the disingenuousness of Fox News. You know, on camera, Sarah Palin is, you know, a head of state, practically, right? And then, you know, off camera, they say the same stuff we all say about her.
Yeah, because they're adults and they read and hear the same things everyone else does. And, you know, if you read excerpts of this new Sarah Palin book, you're just like, okay, so, you know, that's who she is. So most people don't pretend that she's some sort of heavyweight.
Yeah. All right. Fox and Friends. Oh, is this the weekday edition?
Yeah.
This is the A-team. Mm-hmm.
President Bush on Jay Leno last night, and it got humorous. You know, so many people are going to say, oh, well, if we would have seen that side of President Bush when he was in office for 8 years, then we would have all loved him, right?
Yeah, it was a little problem, but you don't really have that side of somebody who's in the middle of two wars,
sure.
Katrina.
No kidding.
He's got to be presidential.
Right.
But he is a funny guy.
Oh, the looking for WMD under his desk, hilarious.
That frog blowed up real good. They will be put to death.
And again, it's just sort of, it was part of this relentless rehabilitation campaign.
Yeah.
And if you look at the book sales and you look at the ratings for the NBC Bush interview, I mean, no one was really interested. I mean, that comeback tour really went nowhere in terms of rekindling any sort of interest in Bush. But at Fox News, it was all sort of breathtaking and breaking news.
Yeah, and can I just state my personal opinion? No, he wasn't. He was not funny ever. Not funny now. Wasn't funny. Although, Jim, we used to know because there would be that comic, that telegraphing comedy eyebrow. Remember that would go up and go, here comes a zinger.
There it was. Get it? Well, then you're stupid if you don't get it.
All right. Steve Moore on Cavuto.
It's the war against business. And it really has been both Congress and the White House that have basically passed one regulation, one tax, and one restriction after another that just makes it very tough. I don't think there's anything worse than right now talking about extending unemployment insurance. By the way, this would be the fifth time we've done this.
Absolutely.
It means 2 years of benefits. And at the same time, we're basically making it easier to stay unemployed. We're making it harder for businesses to hire the people who don't have jobs.
He's got that Dennis Miller kind of delivery going, I think.
Here
come the jokes.
You know, this is, again, one of these themes, Eric, about the president is not friendly to business. And meanwhile, corporate profits had never been better than under Obama.
And
I think the Dow's only up 4,000 in the last 18 months.
Yeah.
But I love that undercurrent of unemployed people are lazy.
Yes. And you're just encouraging them.
We're begging them to just sort of loaf around. Mm. Feel that populism.
Mm. All right. Oh, Juan Williams, when that fat new Fox News contract is in.
Yeah, $2 million.
When I, see a little old lady patted down, I think, what's going on here? And then, as I have famously said, I think that they have to engage in some form of criminal profiling. Now, imagine my position on racial profiling. But in terms of saying, you know what, there's a higher likelihood for a certain group of people, I mean, that's obvious, isn't it?
Hmm. Who could it be talking about, I wonder?
Gee, I wonder.
Left-handed people, clearly.
Yeah.
The whole TSA freakout is interesting, particularly if you just imagine, from Drudge and Limbaugh and Fox News, if Bush were in the White House and this were going on.
Yeah, exactly.
People who would be raising objections would be essentially traitorous.
Yeah.
Treasonous and traitors.
Yeah, they love terrorists and hate America.
Right.
Exactly.
But with a Democrat in the White House, the whole noise machine is just in complete freakout mode. It's just, it's very interesting. Their love of national security has now been trumped by their hatred for Obama.
Exactly. Eric Bollert, please remain in the sidecar. We have a Scotiamore Right Wing World 18 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Now, what is this mess?
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
That's
Kate Pearson of the B-52s.
That's right.
And what a coincidence.
And we're having Fred Schneider of the B-52s on next hour.
I didn't think either of you would get that.
23 minutes after the hour.
I saw them in Berkeley in 1978, I think.
The B-52s?
Uh-huh.
Radical communist.
Wow.
1-800, what could be more communistical than seeing the B-52s in Berkeley?
That was before even Private Idaho came out.
Yes.
Wow.
After the first album.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Eric Bollert in the sidecar for the rest of Right Wing World. Thanks for hanging around. I mean, not only did you stay on hold for 24 hours from yesterday, but now through a commercial break again. God bless you. All right. Hannity. Here we go.
Let's go to the issue of the environment. Today is the one-year anniversary of Climategate. Well, we discovered that they artificially altered the science to hide global warming, which I say and others doesn't exist.
Uh-huh.
Oh.
I say. And others, meaning the two scientists from ExxonMobil.
Right.
Right, of course, he doesn't mention that whole thing blew up in their face.
Exactly.
Yeah.
There was, three, four, five independent reviews showing none of the scientists did anything unethical or tried to mislead anyone. But, it was winter time, so that's what they do at Fox News. When
right.
it snows, they pretend that has a deep scientific meaning.
Well, that's the thing that's, I have to say, the most egregious thing about Fox News, isn't it, Eric, is they continue to repeat stories that have already been debunked.
Oh, yeah.
Michelle Bachmann still didn't back down on the president's trip was $200 million a day.
Oh, right.
Whatever, when she was in her,
Yeah, 2 million people showed up for the Tea Party rally.
Yeah.
And the Sarah Palin rape kit story when she was the mayor of Wasilla, that was debunked, quote unquote, and it hasn't been, and it was still completely legitimate. And Tina Fey was right when she made that comment at the Kennedy Center. So, these stories, they either claim they're debunked and they're not, or ones they clearly have been,
right.
they cling to. And that's their echo chamber, and that is their parallel universe. They have their own set of facts, and they're not letting anyone disturb that.
I mean, it really is. It's not just anti-intellectual, Eric. It's become just like the party of dumb. Let me give you the not-so-fun facts. I mean, you probably know this, but a lot of these teabaggers, particularly that were just elected, a huge contingent of the newly empowered GOP members do not believe in climate change to begin with. A member of Congress from nearly every state in the union, the so-called Climate Zombie Caucus, explicitly rejected the threat of man-made global warming. Of the incoming freshmen, 36 of 85 in the House and 11 of 13 in the Senate have publicly questioned the science, and there are no freshman Republicans in the House or Senate who publicly accept the scientific consensus that greenhouse pollution is an immediate threat.
Science, schmiants.
I mean, and it would be curious if they asked him about evolution. I mean, you know, stuff we thought that was sort of off the table is now part of that mainstream right-wing debate.
You're one of those people who believes the world is round. Okay.
Whatever. Okay. Eric, but, you know, it's part of the same theme, isn't it? You know, the Sarah Palin and the teabaggers, like, you know, sort of the stupid coalition against the Republican mainstream now. Uh-huh. It's not just against science or snooty liberals or whatever. I mean, I love the in the Washington Post, there was an op-ed from former Republican Representative Sherwood Bollert. Any relation?
Hey.
He articulated his confusion as to why so many Republican senators and representatives think they're right and the world's top scientific academies and scientists are wrong, allowing for debate over the policy. He said he finds the Republicans' dogged determination to deny the actual science incomprehensible. It again, is this theme of they can only sort of speak the truth once they're out of office. Right?
Well, and Sherwood Bollert left office right before the sort of the crazies arrived. I mean, he staked his entire career in terms of the science committee and is considered one of the leading lights in the Republican Party. And now he turns around and people are laughing at him. Mm-hmm. Science? Why do you believe in science?
Right.
Yeah.
So it's going to be a civil war within the Republican Party in the next year in terms of the nomination. And we're going to have the crazy faction versus the mainstream faction. And the key is going to be the Fox News is going to weigh in on the crazy faction, which is going to make it so entertaining to watch.
Yep, exactly. All right. Mark Stein in for Limbaugh. Continuing the Democratic men need to man up theme, I suppose. So.
Who was going to pat down President Obama when he showed up at the airport? And HR did make the very good point that at least that way we would get a definitive answer to the interesting question that James Carville posed as to the degree to which his junk is filling out the nether regions down there. And at least that way, if President Obama was to be patted down when he went through security, we would get an interesting, we would get the definitive answer to that one. We might get a twofer if he's got his birth certificate down there. All kinds of, who knows what he's keeping down there.
That's a long way to go for that bleep joke. Yeah.
Ah! See, it was the two-ball humor and the birth certificate joke all in one.
Yeah, exactly.
I couldn't have said it better. Eric Bollert from Media Matters for America. See you next week, sir. Happy Thanksgiving.
All right, you too. Bye-bye.
All right, there he goes. You know, when the setup is that long, and then there's no really clear punchline.
So, a chicken was considering moving to the other side of the road, and during the deliberations as to whether or not to go to the other side of the road, it determined...
Well,
there is a punchline, you know.
Mm. Seeing how he's not an American citizen, I mean, should we allow him to bash our president as much as he does?
Okay, I just...
Maybe he should be tarred and feathered.
I think so.
29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Aw, being popular must be such a new experience for you.
It's true. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Kevin in D.C., you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Kev.
Well, good morning, lovely Stephanie.
Hello, darling.
Oh, boy, don't do that to me. You know the FCC rules.
Go ahead.
I have a question for the panel, actually. I'm trying to understand it. My addle brain doesn't understand it. You know, several months ago, Rachel Maddow coined the term post-logical world.
Yes.
In the recent elections, would seem to bear that out. I guess what I'm saying is why when the Republicans so obviously block or obstruct everything, but Obama and Pelosi and Democrats get the blame? I mean, you know, just quickly, they won't even vote on an important treaty with the Russians.
Yeah.
You know, they're blocking unemployment benefits, and they're doing it publicly and loudly. You know, so it's not like no one can see
because
it.
Unemployment makes you lazy. It's, you know, how people are, that's their dream, is
but
to live on
the same people who are getting their benefits taken voted for that. You know, even
yeah.
I just saw recently a millionaire group said they want to be taxed because the Bush tax cuts are a disaster. Mm-hmm. Warren Buffett,
yeah.
A billionaire, said.
Yeah. No, I mean, and that's the thing, you know, as we've said, Kevin, that is a little irritating about these last midterms is you're going in every poll, you're going, hey, you want what the Democrats want. Why did you vote for the other side? I mean, it's just, yeah.
It's hit upon because you're a professional. You can say succinctly what I've been trying to babble. That's it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the latest, which poll is it, Chris? I don't know which one just came out, but I mean, you know, that the public supports letting tax cuts for the rich
yeah.
expire. I mean, period.
And it's not just that, it's so many other issues. So why do you vote for the very same people who, it's not like they've tried to be slick about it. They said before the election, we're going to do this, we're going to do that, we're going to do that.
Right.
We want to do the same things that you hated allegedly under Bush. And then you vote for them anyway. That's So bizarre.
Well, and, you know, Kevin, it's interesting. I was just reading this story that is a couple of Republicans on TV recently with Wolf Blitzer, actually.
Wolf Blitzer.
Yeah, Mike Pence and Aaron Schock.
Well, yeah.
And he actually confronted them about, I thought you said this election was about listening to the American people. Mm-hmm. The polls say this and that. And they're just like, la, 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 la. We cannot hear them now.
Yeah.
Well, let me ask you this. Yeah. Before I go, because I probably won't get in a call before Thanksgiving. I did want to wish you a happy and healthy Thanksgiving. I understand that you were under the weather or something?
Yes, I'm still a little phlegmy, but I'm better.
Oh, you know, when I look at that wonderful leg and the breast, of course, I'll be thinking of you.
Thank you. Thank you, Kevin. I appreciate it. When you stuff it, I hope you think of me in particular.
Yeah, because Stephanie's legs and breasts look exactly like a turkey's.
Shush.
What?
All right. The story I was talking about this week on CNN, Wolf Blitzer. Confronted Representative Aaron Schock of Republican of Illinois
mm-hmm.
with a recent poll that found Americans don't want to extend the Bush-era tax cuts for the wealthiest Americans, wondered why Schock, who has made both extending all the tax cuts and listening to the American people a priority, isn't exactly listening to what they want. Schock simply ignored the poll, saying the American people reject letting the tax cuts expire
for
the wealthy.
American people reject polls.
Apparently.
Even though I answered them. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Can we stop saying that the American people spoke loudly and clearly?
Yeah.
They spoke like Helen Keller through a ball gag. I mean, it was just rage, just unfocused, inchoate rage.
Jim Louise Ward.
That was funny. Representative Mike Pence.
Republican. That's a visual I'm not going to get out of my head now.
Apparently, Wolf Blitzer, Jim, not going to just leave it there anymore. He's starting to ask some actual questions for Republicans.
He must be listening to the show.
Yeah. Mike Pence got caught playing a similar game with Wolf Blitzer. They keep saying, we're listening to the American people. That's the main thing we're doing. Listening to the American people.
Which ones?
He argued that in order to reduce the deficit, the government should cut spending on Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid. But when Blitzer told Pence a recent poll showed Americans don't want cuts to those programs, he basically did the same, you know, he pulled the shock.
Listen to the American people, not the polls.
the polls suddenly are not the American people.
How are you speaking to you if not through the polls?
Yeah.
Well, they have like some secret transmitter in your head or something that's receiving the thoughts of the American people. Well, Chertoff probably does have that, actually.
Yeah, exactly. He'd like to sell it to you. Find American D in Plano, Texas on these very same subjects.
D is with Plano.
She's with Plano, Texas.
Oh. Okay.
She, Steph, is it me or have I seen this show before? I seem to recall everyone under the sun telling Barack Obama back during the 2008 primary and presidential campaign he needed to be tougher, more animated, less professorial, scream more, yell more, turn over a table or two to show some passion and let the American people know you're serious and you care. Funny thing about that, Obama did none of that and was elected our nation's very first black president by a pretty convincing margin. Some of these same media people now predicting Obama's demise in 2012 were the same ones back in 2007. Already measuring Hillary Clinton for her Air Force One jacket. What does it say that the most midterm election polls have a President Obama at an average of 47-48% approval rating, which is very high for a modern-day midterm president, especially one with all the problems Obama has right now? I'll tell you what it says. It says that maybe all the midterm problems that Republicans and Democrats are trying to heap on the shoulders of the president right now just may not be all his fault. So what is the moral of the story, boys and girls? Never let people living knee-deep in trash tell you how to clean your house. Speaking of James Carville and his recent foul-mouthed rant against our president, if he's trying to offer Obama the same kind of advice he probably offered to Hillary Clinton, I think it's safe to say President Obama will pass. Thank you, Dave. Good point. By the way, Jim, this is going to throw you off because it's Tuesday.
Uh-huh.
It's a Tuesday, guess the quote, but I was sick on Monday.
That's the hint. What could the significance of that be?
Speaking of things in store for us in 2012, who said if logic applied to Palin's career trajectory, this month might have been judged dreadful for her in an otherwise great year for Republicans? She endorsed a Star Wars bar gaggle of anomalous and wacky losers. Former witch Christine O'Donnell, the raging nativist Tom Tancredo, and at least two candidates who called for armed insurrection against the government, Sharon Angle and a would-be Texas congressman, Stephen Brodin, who lost by over 50 percentage points. Last week, voters in Palin's home state humiliatingly refuted her protege, Joe Miller, overturning his victory in GOP Senate primary with a write-in campaign. Who said that?
Fred Schneider.
No, but he very well might next hour. No, Frank Rich in another fabulous and terrifying article entitled, Could She Reach the Top in 2012? You betcha. Who said, but logic doesn't apply to Palin? What might bring down other politicians only seems to make her stronger. The malapropisms and gaffes, the cut-and-run half-term governorship, family scandal, shameless lying, rapacious self-merchandising. In an angry time when America's experts and elites all seem to have failed, her amateurism and liabilities are badges of honor. She has turned fallibility into a formula for success. Who said that?
Cindy Wilson.
No. Frank Rich, another sad testament for the state of American politics. And finally, who said Republican leaders who want to stop her, and they are legion, are utterly baffled about how to do so? Democrats who gloat that she's the Republicans' problem may be humoring themselves. When Palin told Barbara Walters last week that she believed she could beat Barack Obama in 2012, it wasn't an idle boast. Should Michael Bloomberg decide to spend millions on a quixotic run as a third-party spoiler, all bets on Obama are off. Who said that?
Kate Pearson.
No!
It was no member of the
B-52s. Okay.
Keith Strickland good nor Ricky Wilson.
Because we're running out of B-52, yeah. That's a good thing, don't we?
Yes, we mentioned this is the Barbara Bush. This is with Larry King, our good friend.
What's your read about Sarah Palin?
Well, I sat next to her once, thought she was beautiful. And I think she's very happy in Alaska. And I hope she'll stay there.
Zoinks.
I do enjoy Barbara Bush grip.
Anyway, Frank Rich, the fine American, goes on to write, the producer of Sarah Palin's Alaska, Mark Burnett, whose past hits appropriately include both Survivor and The Apprentice, have declared that the series is completely non-political. This is the Alaska
right.
thing. He says it is, in fact, completely political. An eight-week infomercial that, miraculously enough, is paying the personality it promotes reported $250,000 a week charging her for this campaign.
What the...
Palin not only has TLC in her camp, but better still, Murdoch, Rupert Murdoch. Other potential 2012 candidates are also on the Fox News payroll, but Palin is the only one whose every appearance is announced with the kind of advanced teasing and clip montages the talk show used to introduce major movie stars.
We should call it the Propaganda Channel.
With Murdoch, Rush Limbaugh, Glenn Beck, Sean Hannity on her side, Palin hardly needs the grandees of the so-called Republican establishment. The same criticisms the Bushies fling at Palin now were those they once named were aimed at Bush. A slender resume, a lack of intellectual curiosity in foreign travel, a lazy inclination to favor from-the-gut improvisation over cracking the briefing books. These spitballs are no more likely to derail Palin within the GOP than they did him. Remember how that worked out? Remember how great the Bush presidency was?
You're welcome, America.
When Palin mocks her GOP establishment critics as tortured, paranoid, sleazy, and a good old boys club, she pays no penalty for doing so. The more condescending the attacks on her, the more she thrives. Sooner or later, Palin's opponents will instead have to man up, as Palin might say, and actually summon the courage to take her on, mano a maverick, in broad daylight. Short of that, there's little reason to believe now that she cannot dance to the top of the Republican ticket winning if she wants to. Frank Rich.
Did you hear her little joke?
Yeah, we're going to go down there and fish for some halibut just for the halibut. They get
she
that
did
joke
not say
in Alaska.
That.
They get that joke in Alaska. I don't know if anyone else got that.
Yeah, that's only like in Alaska would get that.
It's like a dad joke.
Brain teaser.
That's yeah. like, a, yeah, that's a, ooh, even 7-year-olds would go, ooh, that's so unsophisticated.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't. In fact, he even makes the analogy. It's the exact same thing happening on Dancing with the Stars. Bristol Palin sucks. And yet, because the snooty dance judges don't like her, America's like, no, we got to put somebody completely unqualified in there because
Speaking of that, snooty. I guess people
were
having a really hard time getting through to vote for Jennifer Grey last night.
Interesting. Really?
Yeah.
They're trying to put baby in a corner. Really?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The immortal Patrick Swayze warned us about that.
That's true.
I'm just saying.
People had no trouble getting through to Bristol Palin. So.
Well, that requires your drama sting. Mine is not really. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So we'll see who wins tonight, actually.
Yes, we will. Won't we? Mm. Let's go to
I won't.
Joe in Seattle. Hi, Joe.
Hello.
Hi, Joe. Hello, Joe.
Mamacita.
Yes.
I just wanted to make a comment about I've never heard of in history the time when people like Rupert Murdoch, Karl Rove, et cetera, run a propaganda machine that dominates our politics.
Say this one more time. What am I? Karl Rove just started running a propaganda machine? What?
No. I've never heard about a time like this, not in the United States, not in any free country, where people like this can dominate.
There have been times in history where people...
Well, yeah. The fact that the Karl Roves of the world think, oh, my God, these teabaggers are crazy.
Yeah.
Like going, oh, my God, I mean, it's seriously, is it possible that we can get the Bush administration only stupider? I mean... think about it. 46 mm-hmm. minutes after the hour. All right, back with the latest on the TSA stuff as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
No need to thank us. It's what we do.
Who the hell are you guys?
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
I would really prefer not to. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 51 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-1-2.
Not even if you say yow.
Okay, well then, yes. No. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Computer says yeah.
1-800-STEPH-1-2, mm-hmm. The phone number, toll free from anywhere. Nora in Minneapolis, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Nora.
Hi, Stephanie. Hello. I just realized why people seem stunned when they come on your show. The phone feed is 7 seconds after the radio itself.
Oh.
For some reason. Okay. But anyway, I'm here now.
Oh, hello.
Glad to be here.
Okay, go ahead.
It's so bright and sunny here in Minneapolis today for a change. I'm mad as hell about, they took $100 million in the so-called recovery bill that's supposed to be for jobs and bought those stupid machines.
Oh, the scanners you're talking about.
They bought those machines as if that helps the economy. Hell no. I haven't been on an airplane since 1974. I think the airplane companies should pay for these damn stupid crap if they want to have stupid crap.
Okay. All right, Nora. She's mad as hell in Minneapolis this morning. What? By the way, so what is the difference, Jim, between these machines? What were the things we have been going through? They're just metal detectors?
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And so these are actual...
Naked picture of your skin.
Yes.
That's what it is.
Yes.
They want to see. And apparently they penetrate enough to find, women's things.
Yeah, well, girl things. Mm-hmm. Which you can look kind of like a... Yes, you can look like a bomb. That can look like an Acme fuse.
It looks like one of those round bombs, round black bombs with a fuse coming through it.
Mm-hmm.
Especially if the thing is full.
Uh-huh.
Ew.
Why? Okay. Pistoli. Okay.
Hey, Pistoli.
I think it's called Pistol. I think he's Pistol. Pistol. Yes.
He said the agency will work to make screening as minimally invasive as possible.
Yeah, sure.
Which means they'll, just put the in, I guess. Just, it's a second base, maybe third. I don't know what minimally invasive means.
We promise not to enjoy it, is what they're saying.
Exactly. Well, Hillary Clinton, you saw she was asked if she would submit to a pat-down. She said, not if I can avoid it, which I guess you can avoid it by being elected Secretary of State.
But
the rest of us probably can't really avoid it. All right. We found the audio we were talking about, which I just think is the most hilarious. By the way, I thanked Bill Maher in person last night for his rant about, you know, Jon Stewart using this false equivalency between Fox and MSNBC and how it's not the same thing and yada yada. So he's going to come on and talk with us at some point. But
so he says.
No, but my point is this audio shows really crystallizes the difference in Fox News. I mean, you know, on MSNBC, first of all, they criticize the president and Democrats and whatever. They, you know, I think at least they're attempting to do journalism, albeit with a point of view, which they don't deny. But Fox News, the difference is, Jim, if you any show on the air, Sarah Palin is apparently the most qualified person in the world to be president or anything else. And then off air, so these Liz Trotta gets caught off camera talking about Sarah Palin with what's her name, Judith Miller. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, this would, can you imagine this with liberals? This would be exactly what they call, oh, you're just snooty, bitter, jealous, snooty, illiberate, you know, establishment liberals, blah, blah, blah.
Alessandra Stanley had the best line. She said the new show was like The Sound of Music, without the Nazis, without the romance, and without the music.
Oh, the Washington Post hated it, too, though. Did you see his review?
Yes, it was very good. Yeah, it was very good.
Said the sound of a voice when warning you to heed the bears. It would actually scare the bears, the reviewer said.
Absolutely. Right. Absolutely right.
Said you just get the sense that all she's waiting for when she's looking at this great outdoors is to get back to her SUV if we're enough bars to send out her latest Twitter about the beauty of the environment.
Well, I guess somebody's going to be hunting from a helicopter just for the hell of it. Like, getting that joke in Alaska.
Oh, God.
Wow, what a couple of snooty elitists there at work at the Fox News. Gee, they almost seem like they're laughing at her, Jim.
Yeah.
Into some sort of dismissive, condescending way, like she's a great big dope.
But she is a great big dope.
Not on the air, not when the cameras roll. All right. Did you see, by the way, I love Joe Biden's reaction when he was asked, you know, about her. He basically just said, I think he'll be in pretty good shape.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Like, if he says anything vaguely like that, then, oh, he's a, you know.
However, at this point, they took a poll and Romney would beat Obama if the election were held today.
Ugh. Wow.
Yeah.
Ugh. Oh, my
so
God.
So we have some work to do for 2012, just saying.
Because he's lost his base. That's what the big problem is.
Yeah.
But the base wouldn't vote for Romney.
Well, I know, but I'm saying he would win because Obama wouldn't get enough votes.
Oh, if the base stays home, exactly. Mm-hmm. All right. Here's one thing. Here's some fun facts about who we were saved from, and that is crazy Sharon Engel.
Hmm.
There's a story, you know, they always do, like, the people actually speak the truth after things are over. So her campaign, apparently the whole campaign, just a complete disaster.
Oh, really?
Which would have given you some idea what kind of senator she would have been. Republicans familiar with the campaign of Sharon Engel describe a not-ready-for-primetime effort that was equally astonishing, a model of dysfunction that was as bad as Reid's campaign was good. In one occasion that was emblematic of the chaos that marked the campaign, Campbell, that was the manager.
Mm-hmm.
Nearly scuttled an appearance by John McCain while he was in midair on the way to an Engel rally because the Tea Party people said he's not conservative enough.
Right.
In the 20 years I've been involved politically, I've never had the misfortune of working with such sheer utter incompetence, said one political director for a national Republican senatorial committee. Every Republican who worked with the campaign and was interviewed for the story recalled how both of Campbell's voicemail boxes were consistently full and he would not answer emails for days and days. Local Tea Party activists, especially volunteers in the Las Vegas field office, a group of people, they were collectively viewed by the campaign professionals as incompetent. Some on Engel's staff even referred to them as the Island of Misfit Toys for volunteers. Campbell and a bunch of Tea Party activists cornered her in a suite after she lost and tried to persuade her not to concede the race for almost an hour. They said she should demand a recount and charge voter fraud in Clark County. A national operative later talked to Engel privately in another suite and told her the fight was over. More than an hour after the networks called the race for Reid, she finally conceded. Oh, boy. And Joe Miller, by the way, is suing, isn't he? The tiny baby wolf candidate in Alaska is suing. Yeah, even though he has already lost.
Yeah.
Okay. I want a recount of the recount.
Take care now. Bye-bye, then.
Loser.
All right, 58 minutes after the hour. Wendy Walker, the executive producer of Larry King, next about her new book, Producer, as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's The Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. StephanieMiller.com. Check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris Lavoie, voice deity Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller. Tomorrow, Hump Days with Hal Sparks, all 3 hours. Carl Frisch joins us for Right Wing World and celebrity chef Susan Fenniger.
That's right.
We will talk Thanksgiving
I
food.
I worship that woman.
I had no idea who she was until I was invited to have dinner with her at a restaurant.
How can you live in America? How can you live in Los Angeles and never have heard of Susan Fenniger?
I know. And I gave her a hard time about what time. People are like, you're a a**hole. What's wrong with you? Go whenever she says.
Yes.
All right. I've gotten to hang around a lot of fancy people lately. I think I mentioned I was at a cocktail party at Larry King's house. You know how that is.
Mm.
Another day, another. It was for Wendy Walker, who is his executive producer and has the best book out I've read lately. It is called Producer. She joins us now. Good morning, Wendy.
Hi.
Wendy, I had to tell the story about last night because it was kind of hilarious, wasn't it?
About the food?
Yes.
OMG. I'm sorry, my children say I'm too old to say OMG, but OMG.
So, this is kind of a fancy party. Bill Maher, Kathy Griffin, Jeff Probst, Suzanne Summers, everybody in Hollywood was there. And somebody apparently forgot to order food or liquor for the party. So, and you had the best line of the whole night when you got up to talk. You said, first of all, I'm stuffed. But I think it's safe to say that you weren't producing that party because...
No, but of course it was my fault. I mean, this is the funny thing. I was on my way there. It was 6:15, and Larry called and said, there's no valet, there's no food, there's no wine. And I said, you're kidding. He said, no, I'm not. And I said, that's not funny. You're kidding. I mean, who would have ever thought? I mean, it was so scary. I walked in, there's George Slaughter. Do you know George?
Yes.
He's from Laugh-In.
Yes, he created Laugh-In. No, he told me the story, and I thought he was kidding. And he actually was giving his credit card to the guy from the liquor store. And I was like, what?
We were calling Nate Nels. We were calling anybody. I said, let's call Nate Nels, Wolfgang. Who cares enough about us to, you know, to bring
people? Oh, Nate Nels would, definitely.
Yes, I would think.
The thing was that it was 6:30. I mean, you can't tell people, I know you're serving dinner at your tables at your restaurant, but, hey, could you just come over to the house?
I know. So I'm told the food did show up. But anyway, the point is, the party was great, and the book is honestly fabulous. I read the whole thing.
And
I got to tell you, Jeff Probst and I were talking about how as great as your... I mean, you've had this front row seat on the world stage. You got stories about presidents and kings and celebrities and athletes. But we were saying, for what we love the most, my friend that read it as well, are like the life lessons that are in there. There are so many things in there that you go, I have to put that on my refrigerator.
Oh, I know that was Jeff. Jeff said that. He's so cute. Listen, he's so nice. But I did try to do that mainly because every time I had one of those experiences, I did learn something from it, you know, and I just thought it was worth trying to put it down. So I did.
Well, you know, one of them that I loved, I mean, you just obviously you've met everybody in the entire world, but just all those little lessons, treating all people like they're big people. And you talk about how Marlon Brando and Al Gore in particular did that you noticed they greeted every single person on the set, even the little people, and treated everybody the same.
Absolutely. I mean, they didn't walk in and just go right to Larry. In fact, you know, with those two, we're always the last ones that they went to, especially, and Marlon Brando was so nice when he walked out of his room, because we did it at his house. Everybody that was working on there, he just shook their hand, and afterwards, he poured champagne for everybody that was there. And And it does make a big difference. You see what kind of person it is.
Well, and you know, here you are, this hugely successful Emmy-winning producer, and that's what you hear from everybody that's worked with you, is they love you. And, you know, so it's the way I think you treat people as you go through life. It's just so important. I mean, I just was so struck by so many of the things in your book that I thought, you know, first of all, how do you do it? You have two children. You have a staff of 40. You have this show that's, you know, I mean, you open the book with the story of the day Michael Jackson died.
Yes.
That you literally produced four different shows in one day because the news kept changing. Farrah Fawcett died, then Michael Jackson. I mean,
yeah, poor Farrah Fawcett died, and then so we changed it to that. And I thought, phew, great, we have a great show. And then there was this rumor that Michael had been taken to the hospital, and then so we had to confirm that, and then start booking again. And then because we had so many guests, we were on for more than our regular time. But yeah, I wanted to show people how much work goes into it. I mean, how much work goes into your show? How much, you know, it looks so easy because you're so good, Larry's so good, but there's so much stuff that goes on behind the scenes.
Your job is almost mind-boggling to ordinary people. How do you do it? I mean, how do you, you seem scarily organized is the main thing.
I'm very organized. Yeah. I'm really organized. I love organization. And in fact, if I can do another book, I'm going to do it all on being organized. Because if you organize your life, it just makes it a lot. It makes it so much easier and more fun, and you can also juggle more. I mean, if I wasn't organized, I could never do what I do.
Yeah. Well, you do have some side perks. You did actually get some tongue from Marlon Brando, we read in the book. He actually kissed you. Larry said, "Kiss her like you kissed me."
Yeah, he said, "Kiss her like you kissed me," and he did. And he did. And when he's a good kisser. He was really a good kisser. As Larry says, after he kissed him, he couldn't stop thinking about him.
I love how you said, you know, the belly and everything just went away, and suddenly Stanley Kowalski was there.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, when he walked out, you know, not to put, you know, as a producer, you want to say, well, could you maybe change those pants or, you know, put some shoes on?
Could you maybe cover your stomach or something?
But he was so cool. And I thought, you know, he was a recluse at the time. Nobody had seen him in Los Angeles for years. And so it was such a big deal to see him that I thought, no, he's got to be what it is. But when they kissed at the end, I literally did get a call from my boss saying, why did you let them do that? And I said, what? And he said, why did you let them kiss? And I said, you know, I just forgot to tell them, if you're having a good time and you look at each other and you want to kiss each other in the lips, don't do it.
That is one producer note I forgot.
Yeah.
So, you know, what compelled you to write the book now? I mean, it just, I got to tell you, I'm sure I, like so many people, I am just going to be so sad, when Larry ends the show. I mean,
you're such a great guest. We love having you on.
Thank you.
Everybody on the staff just loves you.
Thank you.
You are so cool.
Well, thank you. Well, no, but he really is, you know, you can't sort of overstate it. He's just irreplaceable. He's an icon.
Iconic, and I do think that there's him, there's Johnny Carson, Jack Parr. I mean, there are a few people that have had a show like that are just so amazing, and I've just been honored to be part of it for so long. But I wasn't going to, I had decided I was going to write this book next year. In fact, it's taken me 3 years. I've been working on it for 3 years. But then when Larry decided to hang up his nightly suspenders, I thought, well, you know, the publishers wanted me to do it now, which made some sense. So I changed added the last chapter, which was about the day that he decided to announce it, and just decided to do it now. But
well, I mean, I have to say, the book, seriously, the book producer, you should pick it up. I mean, because it just is fascinating. I mean, you've covered essentially, you started as a White House producer, and then, you know, went to Larry King, but you've covered literally like every major story that's happened in America.
Every major story for 30 years. So it's really going to be funny the next day on December 17th. I might just have to call you and tell you what I would have put on the show.
Yeah, exactly.
We thought that would be fun for a week or so to say, well, we would have done this. But, I think Pierce is going to be great. I think that's going to be – we're excited about him taking that time slot. It's an important time slot, and he's got a lot of energy and a lot of ideas. And I think that's, you know, it's going to be an interesting, fun show.
Well, and we, by the way, we could say what you're doing next, but you'd have to kill me if I said, apparently. But it's something very exciting. So stay tuned.
When I can, I'll come back and tell you all about it. It's so exciting.
Okay.
I'm kind of pinching myself.
But. Yeah. Well, I mean, you've had just this incredible life. Jimmy, this will wake you up over there. So guess who sang at her 50th birthday party?
Who?
Paul McCartney.
Really?
Doesn't that happen to everyone?
Oh, wow.
Maca. Well, it's good and bad. Good is that it was amazing. He sang for, you know, almost 2 hours, 20-some songs, and I was totally surprised. But the bad news is now I can't lie about my age.
Yeah. Yeah, made world news. But
it was,
I mean,
it was on the cover of a Reykjavik paper, you know, and
yeah.
Because he doesn't do it, and it's the only time he's ever done it. But my ex-husband gave him $1 million for the landmine fund.
Wow.
So he said, hey, I got a win-win. You know, it's Wendy's birthday, and you know, I'll write you a check. And
now, does he also do like balloon animals for that much, or is it just the singing?
Yeah.
Is there anything else you?
He did.
You know, that's the thing about you. It's you're so incredibly warm and relatable in person, and who can relate to you really? The time Paul McCartney sang at my birthday, oh, and Mikhail Gorbachev and I were in an elevator. It's like, what? And you went to work for Ethel Kennedy. You spent the summer at Hyannisport. This is when you were like, you know, a kid practically.
I was 24 years old.
And you had to plan Jackie Onassis' 50th birthday party. Now, that's a job you don't want to screw up, right?
Yeah, that was pretty amazing. To sit there and think that I was, you know, in one of those little chairs watching this whole thing, and that was pretty amazing.
That's a job you want to have food and alcohol for.
Yeah, you don't want to be the one that's like, what?
You know, and guess what? There was food and there was alcohol.
But, you know, it's also interesting. You point out people like her. You said that she was the same way. She was, you know, attentive to everybody and nice and interested in you no matter who you were.
Oh, she was lovely. I mean, she was lovely, and she had that amazing voice, you know. Hi, Wendy. Come on in. Have a Coke.
Speak English, Jackie.
Oh, my God. She was just so eloquent and lovely. And but Ethel taught me a lot. I mean, that job, Ethel Kennedy taught me that, you know, details really matter. And that if you want to present something, just make it better than the other person's. You know, you just make it different and put some time into it. And think about what the person actually is going to ask for, you know. And so really good training.
Don't make it bad, as Maca would say.
What?
Yeah.
Take a sad song and make it better.
Yes.
But, you know, seriously, they sound simple, but these life lessons in the book, be someone others want to be around. You know, you talk about that. You talk about, you know, thinking bigger than big. Mentor yourself. Work harder than anybody else. I know you and Katie Couric were roommates, but you and she used to go and work for free at ABC just to learn.
Yeah, we called it Sunday school. I mean, we would go in on the weekends, and our boss one time came in to get his mail, and he said, what are you doing here? I said, well, we come in on the weekends and just volunteer. And, you know, Katie wanted to be a writer, and I wanted to be a producer. And so then he decided to go leave ABC to be the first Washington bureau chief for this guy named Ted Turner. He was making this 24-hour news thing that everybody was making fun of, and they were calling it chicken noodle news. And he picked Bernie Shaw to come over and be the anchor. And he said, well, who else would like to come? You know, who else should I pick? And I said, well, my friend Katie is a great writer, and she'd like to write. So we went over and started CNN.
Wow.
So it was a long, long time ago.
No, but I mean, I just think anybody that wants a career in anything, it's such, you know, you're such an inspiration as to how it didn't happen by accident. I mean, you really worked your ass off.
Yeah,
and
we worked hard. But you have to have a passion, as you know. I mean, you have to really love what you're doing. And if you do, I mean, just think of Katie and me in that newsroom with Frank Reynolds, and Stone Phillips was on the assignment desk. And if somebody would have said, oh, by the way, you know, Wendy, someday you're going to get to produce, you know, this iconic talk show, or Katie, you're gonna make history in this country because you're gonna be the first female network anchor, we would have said right.
Here's the one life lesson thing resonated with me. You say, for each difficulty along the path, there's really a good reason it happened, whether you get to see it now, a year from now, 3 years now, or even 30. You need to keep the faith, believe in yourself, cultivate patience and goodwill, and surround yourself with positive people. The rest will take care of itself, and you're just sort of a testament to that.
Well, I think it is important, and the older I get, the more I think that being around positive people and positive energy is so important, and really, you have to really make hard decisions to be, if you have a high maintenance friend that just, it makes you feel guilty all the time, or, you know, that's just, or somebody that's that's not, it's not worth it, you know?
Well, listen, Wendy, I'm in the shedding process myself right now. We'll talk. We'll go to lunch. one more thing before you go. I mean, there's so many amazing stories in this book, but, you know, I happened to meet Ted Olson recently at a, you know, event for Prop 8 out here, the No One Prop 8 campaign.
Yes.
You were a good friend of Barbara Olson, and you talk in the book very touchingly about how they were your relationship role model. They were your marriage role model, Ted and Barbara Olson.
Yeah. I mean, that was so sad because Barbara was on the plane that went into the Pentagon, they lived in Washington, and she was supposed to come out to Los Angeles, and she was supposed to go out the day before.
The 10th.
But she stayed so she could, because it was Ted's birthday, and so she could kiss him, you know, happy birthday before she left.
Right.
And I know, that was amazing. And the fact that Ted told her, she called him from that plane and said, what's going on? And he told her what had happened at the World Trade Center, so she knew what was going to happen. And he just felt like you know, he thought about it afterwards, and he knew that he'd done the right thing.
To tell her the truth,
because that's what she would want
to
know. But yeah, they really, really had an amazing connection, and I'm sure they still do. I mean, he married again, which is wonderful, but I'm sure they still have a wonderful connection. She was a great darling woman.
Wendy, amazing stories in the book, and I wish, honestly, I could talk to you all morning. Listen, as someone that Larry King sings vaudeville show tunes and hair and makeup to, I'm sure you have a million stories about Larry jokes.
Well, that's
and
part of my job description. I actually have to sing, too. So.
Oh, wow.
in my contract.
I am so thrilled to finally meet you, and thanks so much. Good luck with the book. It's called Producer, and I urge you to pick it up. It just is a must-read. Wow. Wendy, thanks so much.
Thanks, Stephanie.
All right. There she goes,
Yay!
Wendy Walker.
Wow. Stone Gossard used to have a show on CNN. That's
right. 2 minutes.
Is Eddie Vedder going to start singing the news?
22 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Come on, it's brilliant.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Honey, I'm so glad we rented the chalet.
Chilling at Christmas.
At Christmas.
Fred Schneider of the B-52s.
Yes.
Who joins us in just a few minutes.
This is his band, the Centurion. Or no.
The Superions.
Superions.
Come on.
Oops, I got that wrong.
All right. What a show today. Yeah. Wendy Walker, how awesome is she? Larry King's executive producer. She's been called Relentless by Barbara Walters, although Barbara Walters probably called
Relentless.
It.
Relentless.
Stop it.
Relentless.
Exactly. She is Relentless. Wendy Walker. Why were you so relentless? All right. I could talk to her forever. She has a whole thing in her book about how she and Larry King are opposites, and that's why they make a great team. If it were up to him, he would talk about sports every night. I can tell you that right now. Somebody, a listener once told me, I'm sorry, I couldn't watch you and Larry King last night because I was watching baseball. And I'm like, so was Larry King.
Yeah.
Because he was during the commercial breaks. How are the Mets doing?
Mets, hello. Exactly. I thought he was a Dodgers fan.
I don't remember. I don't know what game that was. No. Ebony in Minneapolis real quick. Hey, Ebony.
Hi. How's it going?
Good, go ahead.
I just wanted to comment on the fact that I don't really trust Skeletor's crack sales team to tell me if those scanners are safe. I'm pregnant right now.
Yeah.
Yep.
And if I have to travel for an emergency, I will definitely not be going through those scanners. I think
the pat-down will be much more enjoyable since you're not used to having a men's hands all up in your junk while you've been pregnant anyway. Exactly. Oh. Again with the stirrups. 29 minutes after the hour. Fred Schneider of the B-52s next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Jungle bells, jungle bells, jungle bells, jungle bells, ring
much do you love it? The most.
I can picture Fred Schneider swinging through the trees.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 34 minutes after the hour. Always love me some B-52s. So thrilled to have Fred Schneider with us, founding member of the B-52s, with his new Christmas album with the Superions. Good morning, Fred.
Hey, Stephanie. How are you?
Just your voice makes me happy.
Oh, good. Well, happy holidays.
Thank you. I love the stuff off the new the Christmas album. It's hilarious. It's called Destination Christmas.
Yes. Everyone should go there.
Yes.
It's just happy music. You. They say leave it to the Superions to save the holidays from the usual stale chestnuts and dull oldie retreads.
Yep, I know. We're here to rescue the world.
Now, your popular hit, Who Threw That Ham at Me? was that sort of paved the way for this?
Well, when I work with the Superions, I go to my friends Noah and Dan's house in Orlando, and one day they had some music for me and asked me to put words to it, and that became Totally Nude Island. And after that, we decided to do, you know, just for a joke, do more. And then somehow I came up with, Who Threw the Ham legend. It's always like some overweight lady with a house coat going past the cash register and a hand ham out from under her. And she turns around and says, "Who threw that ham at me?"
I love the way Destination Christmas is described. It perfectly captures the many moods of the season. Despair, avalanches, deranged, abominable snowmen, leaden fruitcakes, and, of course, laughter. It's high energy.
I write copy.
What's that?
I shamelessly write all our copy.
It's described as high-energy dance songs mixed with numbers to chill to. But, I mean, the reviews are, you know, pretty much what I thought. The funniest and danciest stuff I've heard a long time, according to one reviewer. That's what it is. It reminds me of the old B-52 stuff. It just made me happy. It made me happy and dancey.
Well, I didn't want to do anything too religious or sacrilegious. I figured, you know, people have enough of that.
Yes. I love one review. I've heard the future of rock and roll, and it is nude.
Oh, good. Congress would be so much better if everyone just took off their clothes. They'd be too busy arguing about what they look like.
You know, I have to tell you, your songs hold a special place in my heart. It was my Rock Lobster was my like college song. That was the song in our dorm.
Oh, good. Well, a lot of people tell me that.
Yeah. Well, that and Love Shack, just happy music for me. So, what else are the Superions? What else are you like when you finish the Christmas album? What happens? Do you go tour? What do you do?
We're going to do a Halloween EP, and we're going to do a, quote, regular album.
Oh, cool.
We have a bunch of songs for.
Cool. So, and I understand that you, Fred, you're political.
Oh, yes.
how are you feeling after these midterms?
My tweets are all either trashy photos or political rants.
That's right. That's right.
How are you feeling after the midterms and all of that?
I think Congress is going to be in chaos with all the teabaggers fighting with the Republicans and the Democrats just looking at them going like, what the hell are you people talking about?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I mean, that's what I was saying. It really is a kind of a terrifying group that has been voted in, I think, in some circles. I mean, granted, some of the scariest ones didn't get in, but I think you're right. There's still enough of them. It's going to cause chaos.
It is. Yeah, I think it will. And but I just can't believe people are so ignorant not to know that very wealthy right-wing nuts are sort of helping orchestrate the Tea Party, even though the Tea Party thinks that they're independent and this and that.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean,
money talks.
Yep, yep. I'm curious, you know, for instance, I mean, Robert Gates is going to move up the day of the release of the Pentagon report about repealing Don't Ask, Don't Tell by one day. Are you hopeful this might get done in the lame duck?
You know what? There's no telling, you know, what procedural maneuvers, you know, right-wingers can bring against it. Now that John McCain is totally senile, who knows what he'll do?
Right.
Yeah. Apparently now the whole study is wrong.
She's got the policy. She's got the policy.
Everything, yes, everything's wrong. Even though most people in the military have no problem with gay people. Yeah. And most Americans don't, except right-wingers. You just can't. I mean, it's a crapshoot. I mean, look at the crap we give Sarah Palin and all that stuff.
Yeah, yeah. Well, no, and I was saying that you know, this was sort of the biggest sort of collection of, you know, racist and homophobic, openly racist and homophobic people we've seen, you know, in the Tea Party. And look at, you know, the other night. I mean, Sarah Palin's daughter is, you know, has a homophobic rant on Facebook, and Sarah Palin doesn't say anything about it.
Well, she probably doesn't read it because she's too busy, like, canoeing past bears, which I wish would eat her.
Yeah, I love that. Even the wildlife experts are like, yeah, she got way too close to those bears. That is, you know.
Well, they ignored her. Even they ignored her.
Yeah, yeah. Does that? Do you still have family values apart if your family gets eaten by a bear that you shouldn't have been that close to, I wonder?
Well, she probably wish she had a gun and an airplane.
Yeah, yeah. Have you watched a lot of this? Sarah Palin's
no,
Alaska?
Honestly, I was just rooting for the bear when I saw the infomercial for it.
Right.
So, Fred, you know, one of the things that happened in the midterm, though, that really just made me shake my head is they say a third of gay people voted for Republicans because they were frustrated that the Obama administration is not moving quickly enough.
Where do they find these people? Now, they might be the log cabin Republicans, but they should realize that the conservatives will burn their cabin down as soon as they could.
Yeah, exactly. They're coming for your cabin first. What are you?
It's not mine.
Yeah. Are you still an Obama fan?
Yes, I think we have to support liberal policies because they will work if we give them a chance.
Yeah.
And the conservatives just want to keep their tax rate low.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's the thing, is we've been saying in all of these polls, that's what's confusing, is Americans largely want what the Democratic policies are. They want the tax cuts for the rich to expire. They want, you know, don't ask, don't tell overturned.
And right-wingers are more active, you know, deliriously active, unfortunately, than liberals.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Chris, you were just saying that you know, we do have to figure out how to motivate and get out in 2012. Because,
right.
I mean, the possibility of a President Palin is really terrifying. And, you know, and Frank Rich is writing today, you know, this weekend, it really could happen if, you know, we're not paying attention again.
I don't know. I think people will come to their senses. I mean, at least the Democrats. And once a lot of independents see how wacky these people are, if they haven't already, I don't know. I guess not.
Yeah, well, give them time. Give them a couple of years.
In New York State, though, it's sort of a bubble, but, you know, everyone has to keep up with things and support liberal causes and listen to liberal radio stations.
Thank you, Fred Schneider. No, you know what? I think you're right. You mentioned New York. I mean, it could be we're in a bit of a bubble out here in California because there was a part of the story in the LA Times yesterday that the Republican Party is essentially dead in California. Like, they lost everything out here. So, you know, we aren't having any of that teabag stuff out here.
No, and the Republicans in New York are pretty much an embarrassment, too.
Yeah, although the voters took Carl Paladino out, so that's at least one good sign.
Really?
Yeah. Sure. Well, Fred, I want to thank you personally for every B-52 songs, which gave me great happiness, and the Christmas album, Destination Christmas, which also makes me happy and dancy.
Well, thank you very much. I have to give a shout-out to my friend Tracy Wormworth. She's our bass player, and she turned me on to your show.
Oh, cool.
And, more power to you.
Every single one of you B-52s has the best taste ever. Thank you, Fred Schneider. Talk to you soon.
Okay.
All right. Here he goes.
We do all 16 dances.
Was he
calling us from his Chrysler, which is as big as a whale, and it's about to set sail?
Thank you, Jim. I was just waiting for you to do that.
Yeah,
okay.
I didn't want to do it.
Kind of a crappy phone.
Yeah, so he is a fan of the Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, God bless him. He has good taste.
Yes.
All right. All right. Okay, so lots to get to. Let's go to Beth in Altadena. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hi, Beth.
Hi.
Hi.
I just love your show. I just wanted to say I don't think that the election had to do with Republicans having better ideas or anything like that. I think it had to do with Citizens United pouring money into the whole thing, you know, having them have so much money.
Yeah. Well, money was definitely an element in certain places, and yet in others, Beth, like out here, you know, Meg Whitman couldn't, with $150 million of her own money, couldn't buy the governorship, you know?
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Meg Whitman, for
yes.
Progressive Radio.
Yes, and Hagenson, once again, we thank you for your ads.
And for
yes,
writing Jerry Brown's campaign ads for him.
Yes.
My husband and I moved out here 30 years ago when it was such a favorable business climate.
Yeah.
Oops.
When Jerry Brown was governor!
You know, you think someone could have used the Google to find out who was governor 30 years ago. Just saying. All right. I was mentioning to Fred, Gates has agreed to move up by one day the release of the Pentagon report on implementing Don't Ask, Don't... Aren't we rushing change too much? One day! Secretary... He's going to have it ready for public release on November 30th in order to accommodate the desire of the Senate Armed Services Committee to hold hearings as soon as possible. So I guess this is important. Time is of the essence because 10 senators have indicated they would be open to passing a repeal measure after having the time to study the report. John McCain apparently will never be ready because he's like, we need to have a hearings
to have
and we can examine it and then we have that new study. I don't like this study.
Of the study of the hearings.
Oh, by the way, Fred brought up the gay Republican group. Who is that? GOP Proud?
Yeah, well, he said log cabins, but it's more GOP Proud.
Yeah.
Yeah, or GOP Proud.
Who could have seen this coming? Tea Party rejects gay Republican group. Huh. That's what we're trying to tell you. They hate you.
I thought the Tea Party was more about was more about economic issues and didn't matter about social issues.
No. Hmm. No, a group of Tea Party activists are firing back at a gay conservative group claiming they don't speak for the movement. A letter GOP Proud and several Tea Party activists sent to GOP congressional leaders urging them to pursue financial issues over social ones. Now another group of Tea Party activists released their own letter calling GOP Proud a non-Tea Party, non-conservative group because they have the gay on them and they can't play.
From now on, gang, we won't let Rudolph join in any reindeer games.
All right, the infighting has begun. Grab some popcorn. 46 minutes after the hour.
A tea and a he.
Back with the latest on all the gate rapes at the airport.
What? Ah, yes.
Gate rapes.
I like gate that. Rape. Mm-hmm. Celebrity Stack and more as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Yeah, the whole thing seems a little twisted to me.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Santa's Disco.
Oh.
Not San Francisco.
That's
Sam Clam's Disco. I thought it was Sam Clam's Disco.
Fred Schneider's new Christmas album by his new band, The Superions.
Yes, it's available on iTunes.
Because it is Santa's that? Disco. Santa's Disco. Did we play Christmas Conga yet?
Yeah, we played that going into the interview.
All right, fine.
Yeah.
1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Oh, Jim.
What?
Lindsay Lohan will not be playing Linda Lovelace.
Damn it.
In the new... Yes, that must have been a tough disappointment to swallow. You know...
Hey!
They were afraid she might choke because she's not freshly out of rehab. And fill in your own joke here. The good news for acting is Arnold Schwarzenegger says he may go back into acting and things
go
of this
to
nature.
The acting thing and other things of this nature and those kinds of things.
I ran out of catchphrases for my government.
So I need to get my catchphrases from the movies.
You can only say hasta la vista so many times and things of this nature.
Is he considered an A-list star anymore? Can he open a movie anymore? I don't think so.
Oh, is he going to do one of those way past his prime action star movies? Oh, dear.
I think she means an action star.
Yeah.
The woman that may or may not be a hoe.
Like the Charlie in Charlie's Angels.
Speaking of Charlie, what? Charlie Sheen, the woman who may or may not be a hoe, is suing him.
Hmm.
He said he yelled racial slurs, threw a lamp at her, and grabbed her by the throat when whatever happened. That happened in that hotel room in New York.
Wasn't it the Plaza Hotel? It wasn't just any hotel
room. The Plaza,
room.
Yes. Yeah. His publicist said Sheen had an adverse reaction to medication.
Sure.
Yeah.
That's one way of looking at it.
Which generally makes you yell racial slurs and throw lamps and choke a hoe.
I think he's talking about vodka.
Hmm. The members of the Doors want a pardon for Jim Morrison. They're supporting Governor Charlie Crist's proposal to pardon Morrison for indecent exposure in 1969. They say he never actually pulled it out.
That's
he
true.
Was drunk and he teased the crowd, but he never actually whipped it out.
That's not what Oliver Stone said in the movie The Doors.
Yeah, well, it's a movie.
In that movie The Doors, Huh. Ironically, didn't he lock someone in the closet? And now Charlie Crist is trying to help Kip.
Hmm? What?
Remember the scene in the doors? He locked a woman in the closet.
Did he?
Mm-hmm.
You sure that wasn't Sid Vicious?
Rihanna has turned down an offer to pose nude for...
Damn it!
Playboy. I know. But here's a little squeezy something for you.
Oh.
Even though she, yes. She has previously spoken about her obsession with women's breastises. She said, I grab boobies all the time. I'm obsessed.
Okay.
I don't have much, so anytime I see a good rack, I'm like, wow, I wish mine looked and felt like that. Women are beautiful. I'm not into them, but they are hot.
She's not a lesbian, but...
Apparently, she just likes to feel up other women's wrecks, like a TSA agent.
Or like Diana Ross did. Remember when she did the when she felt up Lil' Kim at the MTV?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. That was odd.
She could tell us how little, or not little, Kim is.
Okay. Americans, by a 2-to-1 margin, support the use of the naked image full-body X-ray scanners in airport security lines. How about that?
Who?
But fewer than half back aggressive new pat-down procedures, according to a new ABC Washington Post poll.
But less than 3% of people that go through security get a pat-down.
Mm-hmm.
The vast majority of them go through those scanner things.
So who do they poll, so to speak, as it were, on this poll? Do they realize that, you know, those naked pictures will be circulating all over the internet?
Yeah, well, and the radiation. You've got either the radiation or your naked picture circulating, or you get grabbed.
Janet Napolitano said they don't save our pictures.
Oh, okay. Well, I trust the government implicitly.
I don't know what they... she said they'll make adjustments at the TSA. I'm not really
sure. What does that mean?
What that means.
I'll adjust my own junk, thank you.
At this point, TSA, in consultation with our counterterrorism experts, have indicated to me that the procedures that they've been putting in place are the only ones right now that they consider to be effective.
Guys, maybe they could bring Rihanna in to fill up women's boobs.
Actually, if they just had all female TSA agents, I'd go for the pat-down.
Did you hear this?
They look like Rihanna.
Jim would go through the pat-down line several times. Sir, we've already... You're good. Go ahead. No, it's all right.
You missed a cavity.
I think
you missed a spot.
Did you hear that awful story of that breast cancer survivor? TSA agent.
She had made
her remove her prosthesis.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Boy. All right.
Feel secure now?
Yeah.
And I understand people's frustrations, and what I've said to the TSA... is that you have to constantly refine and measure whether what we're doing...
Oh, they're measuring now, too.
...is
Great.
The
yeah.
only way...
They won't put it all the way in.
...to assure the American people's safety. And you also have to think through, are there ways of doing it that are less intrusive?
Are you saying tip?
I think all men should...
Yeah, just the tip.
All men should go in with a Derek Smalls cucumber wrapped in foil in their pants for the naked scanner. Give them something to look at.
It's like, I guess the Pope says now you can use condoms sometimes.
Yeah.
What? Yeah. Oh, okay. Janet Napolitano was saying the same thing you did about the pat-down.
Point of fact, it's only a small percentage of passengers who get patted down. Nonetheless, I think we all understand the concerns Americans have.
Yeah.
Not going to do anything about it, but we understand the concerns.
Yeah. That's when you watch it on TV, you're like, wow, they're jugglers, those TSA agents. They're really getting in there and...
This is all about accepting more and more tyranny. All about
This is all just theater. None of this is going to keep us any safer. It's just theater.
There's
it's just to make us feel better.
The Lockerbie plane was brought down by a bomb in the cargo hold.
Right, and we don't search cargo nearly as much.
There was a guy from
El
Al going, a security guy from El Al going, you don't have to do this.
People are nuts. You don't have to do this.
But, all right.
But they proposed at the time, after Lockerbie, about having these bomb-containing... what do you call it?
Cargo
compartments in the cargo hold. But it was too expensive for the airline, so oh well.
Yeah, no, the right wingers, as Jim said, their idea is to have people bring guns on planes. If someone shot a gun on a plane, it would explode the fuselage.
Well, it wouldn't
likely.
Explode the fuselage, but you could blow
a lot of damage, and
you would have
kill some
explosive
people.
Decompression. And it's a little more than inconvenient.
Yeah. Bob Schieffer and Hillary Clinton.
Would you submit to one of these pat downs?
Not if I could avoid it. No, I mean, who would?
Wow. I think she got a talking to after that.
John Pistoli.
We will be thorough in our screening to make sure that everybody gets on every flight, has a high level of confidence and assurance that everybody else around them has been thoroughly screened.
Oh, wait, this is the good part. He went on to talk about the pat down.
You have the option to request that the pat-down be conducted in a private room. And you have the option to have that pat-down witnessed by a person of your choice.
That's in the mind
of that'll slow things down.
I said if they can make it like Dudley Moore's apartment in 10, then I'll be like, all right, fine. The lights are dim and a disco ball comes down, a bed comes out of the wall. You know,
I want Rihanna to witness my pat-down, so I'll wait till she gets here.
All right. We'll see you tomorrow on The Stephanie Miller Show.